Hello and welcome to Show Me Your Mic, the podcast that aims to talk to other podcasters about podcasting. For episode one, I'm joined by Dave Rupert of Shop Talk Show fame. This is episode one, or zero, beta, whatever, of Show Me Your Mic, the new podcast that I'm starting because I want to chat with other podcasters and figure out how to do this podcasting thing. And so figured we're all kind of learning as we go, I think, aside from maybe Leo Laporte. But for episode one, I've got Dave Rupert here. Dave, hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me on, Chris.
Yes, it's awesome. I'm honored to have you as guest numero uno. Let's see, bio. I'll just read over your bio quickly so folks who maybe aren't familiar with you. That's what's, I think, funny about sort of going on a tangent 1 minute
sure.
into the
go
show.
Ahead. This is it. Go.
Let's go. Is how the, like, and this is the internet at large too, but there's like, you know, in one section, one little community, this guy, this person can be insanely famous or known, but then you go like one community over and it's like, who the heck's that guy? Why would I pay attention to that person or whatever, you know? And not, do you know what I mean?
No, that fascinates me. The pockets of the internet are like the, I don't know if they're like a,
is it like tribes or whatever that?
Yeah, cliques and yeah. Tribes, and they have kings that have no influence outside
yeah,
of,
totally.
Or whatever, you know, you just, you're like, you know, people probably don't know Zeldman, you know? Like,
yeah.
I don't know, SEO guys, they don't know Zeldman or something.
Yeah.
And it's just wild to me. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, I mean, you go take even one step back and you're like, a while back, Zeldman had tweeted me about, because he was in Canada or something, I'm in Canada, and I tweeted with him back and forth about Canada or something, and like mentioned that to my wife. And, you know, it's kind of cool, right? I don't know Zeldman. He doesn't know me, but he's in my industry. He's a peer, obviously, trailblazer,
yeah.
et cetera. And she's kind of like, go take out the garbage. I don't care.
You know, exactly. Yeah. Anytime I need a reality check, I just ask my wife. Yeah. I just talk to my wife about things I talked about today.
Yeah. So, anyways, there is legitimate things that you have done.
Yeah,
stop there. Full stop.
Okay, that's good. Yep. Full stop.
No, you're lead developer of Paravelo, which is a 3-person web design and branding shop located in Austin, Texas. Recently, just for some context, Paravelo helped you know, a small client, up and comer. I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right. Microsoft
yes,
redesigned their homepage. I get that right.
Startup out of Redmond, Washington.
Right. So hopefully we'll hear good things from them someday. But if nothing else, your webpage support will catapult them into the next level, I'm sure. Anyways, that's not why you're here, really. You co-host the Shop Talk Show. Shop Talk. The Shop Talk Show. Shop Talk.
The Shop Talk Show or shoptalkshow.com.
Yeah. With Chris Coyer. I'm just bugging you because I know I was looking at it and I was like, the logo says Shop Talk Show. And I think the domain is Shop Talk. Show.
The no. URL is Shop Talk Show, yeah. But we just call it Shop Talk. It's confusing.
Go. I know.
We really need to.
You should hire a branding and design agency.
We should. We need to lock it down. We're indecisive. It's fine.
Yeah. It's a sound effects podcast, right? That covers web design and development. And on top of that, you also co-host the ATX Web Show, which is a podcast about web design development in Austin, Texas.
That's correct.
So, how are you doing today? Got you at lunchtime, pre-lunch.
Oh, yeah. This is great. Great. And thanks for having me on here. I must confess, podcast geekery is a very good subject for me. I feel this podcast is going to be cool because we've talked before about podcast setups and how to do this and that and what would be the most, you know, efficient thing for different situations. And it's, you know, I don't know. I feel like the podcaster's legacy is always a struggle against your gear. Mm-hmm. It's just like the constant battle of fighting your setup, you know? So this, I'm very excited to help you kick this off. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's like, it's funny because like I have this mixer sitting here and I did an episode with a friend, another show I do that my brother-in-law, we just chat about stuff, but and the whole episode had just a little bit of static on it. And like, for no reason, every other episode before that, no static. Every episode since, or other stuff I've done since then, no static. So it's just, and that's,
isn't that crazy?
Yeah. And it's not like a web design. Like I do, you and I both do web design development in our day job. And there, there's issues obviously with different devices and stuff. That's sort of the big thing now, but you're still like, a thing is yellow and it's yellow and it doesn't just change on you. I guess, you know, get into weird, obscure devices. That's where it gets weird. But yeah, anyway. So let's see. I'm going to run down my list sort of roughly. Like I said, this is episode one. So I'm sure by episode 10, I'll have a better plan of what works for for discussion. But I was just sort of looking at my own setup and thinking, okay, this is what we're going with. So basic stuff, hardware that you're using. So start with computer. Which I think is, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I've got quite a few computers here in the house, but my main kind of podcasting setup is typically just a Mac. I'm actually using a MacBook Air for everything, and because Shop Talk Show is a live show and we do live broadcasting, we usually had somebody like sit in, my coworker Reagan Ray, sit in on the call and hit a broadcast button. He recently had a kid, a beautiful little girl. So he, his kind of, so that's great. But his, you know, ability to push a button for us became a bit restricted. So, but we're thankful for when he can still do it. But we switched over to, got a Mac Mini to broadcast. And that's now, you know, I was using like another laptop to broadcast, but then the Wi-Fi signal was getting really bad. And so they dropped the broadcast. And so I just decided to get a Mac Mini for broadcasting, just to have it hardlined into the router, just to make sure that it couldn't drop signal unless a catastrophic fail, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Ideally, it would be offsite or on another internet connection, but kind of part of the Shop Talk Show ethos is do as little as possible. So that's, we're kind of we just kind of want to like keep things low budget and just low effort. But that's kind of recently been changing just due to some software and hardware malfunctions. But yeah.
Yeah, it's, you can go low key, but then if it doesn't actually ultimately work, then it gets frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, you mentioned Leo Laporte earlier, but, you know, I don't want like a $14 million setup like his or anything. And I don't want to like try out every single mic there is in the, you know, the whole store on Amazon or whatever. But I feel like there's a, you know, kind of a medium range that you can get between quality and expense, and, you know, it's a hobby for the most part, you know, so I'll probably keep sinking money into it, but thankfully, you know, the show has sponsors and stuff like that. So we can kind of incrementally upgrade the quality as needed.
Yeah. And you're, so with the computers, you're using a MacBook Air that is your recording device, right? So that's,
sort of
note taking. And what kind of stuff, I guess, are you doing on the MacBook Air that's in front of you?
I mean, mostly it's set up the call, Skype, and then there's a live chat room. There's that's on Talk.io, TLK.io, mm-hmm. Which is sort of like IRC, but it has faces.
it's a free tagline you can just give to them, I guess.
Right? Yeah, I'm just giving away branding strategies here. But that's right now it's a free service. I'm sure they'll like do a pro account thing eventually, but it's pretty cool. It's really served our needs in terms of just kind of Twitter authentication. You can block people who are spamming it. You can, it just kind of adds a face and a community to the live shows. So, so we do a little bit of website management too, you know, getting in, and we have a live audio player on the website. So we do a thing where we actually flip a switch and hit live, and then we like, everyone has to refresh. That's terrible. I'll probably have to switch that to like a JavaScript kind of thing. That's like just says on air, off air, but, you know, I don't want to also long pull everything. I don't, that's where technically the web tech kind of sneaks in here, but mm-hmm. But I'd like to maybe simplify that a bit, because people really only go to the site 1 hour a day, you know, mm-hmm. or 1 hour a week. So
yeah. Yeah. Cause yeah. you're broadcasting. So and then, sorry, I'm going to jump in and back and forth here as you're talking around and stuff.
But, yeah, sure.
So going from, your MacBook Air, you have say audio streaming out to Skype, and then your Mac Mini, how does that connect to stuff? What's that's streaming out the audio signal from? So you're talking with Chris on your MacBook Air
mm-hmm.
through Skype.
Yep.
And audio comes out from that where or what's going on?
Okay. So I'm not doing anything fancy from a mix minus sort of perspective or anything. Right now it's just straight. We just recently switched to everyone recording their own audio using like Hijack Pro, or we have our guests use QuickTime or Sound Recorder, depending on what they're on. Just because again, kind of back to the low budget thing. We want to make sure it's really low budget for our guests as well. That's kind of a priority for us. We want to, I don't know the best thing to say here. We don't want to burden our guests with like high tech. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We don't want to be like, okay, now you have to buy a $500 headset microphone thing and, yeah. you know, just to be on our show, or
yeah.
we don't want to mail those out or anything like that. So we try to keep it really easy. So we avoided, you know, having our guests record any of their audio for a while. And we would just really, we'd do like call recorder or something for Skype. It was really budget. And then once that would record to an AIFF, an AIFF, is that what they call it?
Yeah, I don't know.
AIFF.
I've never.
And so the AIF file would then, I would run that through. Somebody tipped me off. I forget his name and I really should credit him.
The internet.
To run it through Levelator. Have you heard of this mm-hmm. piece of software?
Yeah.
So you just run the AIFF file through Levelator and it would kind of rebalance the audio to kind of bring everybody up to the same audio, because that was a problem we were having. So that was kind of how things were working prior to that. But we've kind of switched over. We're doing our separate tracks. We've got a guy mixing down episodes for us, thankfully. So that's really helpful. Just trying to ease our burden so we can produce shows. Last year we produced 50 episodes in a year. So, wow. I mean, that's only 2 weeks off. And, you know, Chris and even myself to some degree had a pretty hectic travel schedule. So that's pretty impressive. So, I'm amazed that we were able to get 50 episodes out. That's really kind of spooky to me.
Yeah. It's good. And that's the, one of the big, what's the word? Like not knocks against, I guess, podcasts that always disappear is that regularity that is needed. Otherwise you just kind of fade away. Like if you don't have if you don't stick to that kind of schedule, people stop listening and forget about you is kind of what I've seen. So there's often, you know, you look in the iTunes podcast listing and there's, you know, thousands of shows in there, and most of them, probably half of them, I don't know, have 10 episodes and then they're just done if they get to 10 or whatever, you know? And so,
more
credit to you guys for sticking it out, and not like it's a burden.
I think that's a very common thing. You know, it's the barrier to entry to podcasting is really, you know, small, you know, it's like, hey, I have something important to say. I'm going to buy a microphone or just talk into my computer and like bingo bango, put it up on a WordPress and send that feed to iTunes. And then I'm done. I have a podcast, you know? Mm-hmm. So the barrier to entry is really easy. I think it's that consistency in building listenership and community that is, you know, that's kind of the fun part to me. I really adore the Shop Talk community. It's fun to see people's names pop into the chat room and, you know, longtime faces and stuff like that. So
yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And that's something I want to talk to you a bit about is the just suggestions and ideas for what you've done with as far as building community. And I mean, there's a certain element of, you know, the work that you've done. No, we'll get to that later. I'm getting ahead of myself. Yeah. where was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So I understand how you do the recording, I guess, and putting out the podcast after the fact. As far as what you're doing for streaming live, though, how do you get, is the Mac Mini in on the Skype call? Is that how you're streaming it live out? Or do you run a feed from your computer to it? Or what are you doing?
Yeah, so we've got like an extra Skype account that connects to the call. And from that computer, and I'll remote desktop into it, VNC or for PC users, but I'll remote into it, and basically I can control the computer like I'm sitting at it at a workstation. And because it's over my local network, it's pretty fast. So I'll just go into the call, mute everything on the remote computer, and then that computer, I'll hijack that with Nicecast. That's an app from it's Rogue Amoeba, I believe.
Yeah, I think that's who it is. I use it too, but yeah,
Rogue Amoeba, they have an app called Nicecast, which is basically it's like a shoutcast server or broadcaster, which I wonder if there's Windows equivalents, because I do have a Windows PC sitting right next to me that I could probably use. I just had the Nicecast software, so I was ready to go there. I guess Winamp would probably work, huh? Anyway. Blast from the past there. Anyway, Nicecast works great. Nicecast, however, has an 8 listener limit. So it has an 8 connection limit. So I can start a server from that Nicecast machine and have everyone tune into that, but it has an 8 listener limit. And we realized that real fast. You know, it's like launch day, we're doing a live show, buddies. And it's like, people are just like, I can't connect. And you're just like, I'm sorry.
That's interesting. Really? I thought it was a limitation of just your bandwidth, but it actually is the Nicecast.
I think it's on the software. Yeah. So we had to I think you can maybe jack it up, but then, you know, you're sacrificing your Skype call bandwidth unless you have a dedicated machine. Right.
Yeah.
So from there we had to investigate, Shoutcast servers. I think we maybe upped it to maybe we went up to 30 or something, but it took a while to find the setting, but, we decided to just kind of go the pro route and get a Shoutcast server. And we went with a company called wavestreaming.com or net maybe.
.com.
They're good. I found their interface to be the easiest, compared to other Shoutcast servers. I mean, you can get Shoutcast servers for, you know, $6 or something like that. Really incredibly cheap. This one's a bit more high end, but for me, it was all about the interface and what that affords you. You know, you get like a map of your listeners when you're doing a live show and stuff like that. That's really, again, back to the listeners. That's kind of what I'm interested in, is where people are tuning in from, you know. So I took a screenshot one time and it was, you know, hundreds of people from all over the world tuning in at, you know, it had to be way past midnight their time, you know. It was just wild just to see who was connecting. So that was pretty cool. That's a pretty cool deal. I know there's some guy in, where is he at? I forget where, maybe Australia. He wakes up at 5 in the morning to listen to the show. It's incredible.
Considering you can, you know, it's not like... It's not a secret that he could download the show later and listen to it. Obviously, he's obviously aware of that. But there is that element of live. It's happening now. There's other people listening to this with me, and the chat room, like you said, that you guys build into helps foster that, I think. And that's,
Yeah. So I guess from the wave streaming, it's just a matter of tapping into their they have some URLs that they give you. Actually, it took me a while to find it, but I actually had to use a special one that they don't document to get it to play on an HTML5 audio player. So
that's what I was going to ask you, because I know we've talked offline that about wave streaming. So I'd been using them a little bit too, but it seemed like I could only, you had to pay $100 a year on top of their regular fee if you wanted their special HTML player, like the one that they build.
Mm-hmm.
But then to get a fee, otherwise it's flash based, which, you know, kind of sucks obviously for
mobile. Half,
yeah.
And all
these
that.
Mobile devices and flashless devices.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So, there's like a, you get a domain, a subdomain, like, so my subdomain dot wavestreamer.net or wavestreaming or something.
Yeah.
And then you get a port. There's a special port that you have. And then it's slash live capital L. So capital L I V E, and that's like your live URL, and that the HTML5 audio player can play. That said, every week or so, one browser, they like go in a rotation of who's going to break it. So like one week it didn't work in Chrome, one week it didn't work in Opera, one week it doesn't work in Firefox. It's just this like rotating brokenness, thanks like thanks to HTML5 and really awesome companies out there. So so it just like, yeah, it's fine. We're, you know, we have a podcast for web developers, you know, it'd be different if we were like cnn.com or something like that, but
yeah,
we have, so web developers understand browsers decide to break things periodically, so
yeah,
hopefully that'll iron out
and they're happy to switch back and forth if it's, yeah, whereas
yeah,
the average user will just give up. Yeah, it's. I know for anybody who's looking into the streaming stuff, I know I've, like I said, I've played with it a bit, and it is a bit confusing because there's Shoutcast things and there's waves, the streaming things, and you have to connect all this stuff together and have software, and it's not like it's. I think there's some, there's a certain amount of what's the word? Not novelty, but like fun to the idea that you're going to stream live to the internet right now, and you know, harkening back to radio and stuff like that. But it is like, I think wave streaming is there, what, $30 a month or $50 a month, depending on the plan.
Yeah, it's about $30 a month. So, and that'll get you up to 500 listeners, I think. So they have a secret plan. You can find it for $20. That'll go to 100 listeners. So oh, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, so that's cool. And that should work, but you just have to dig for it.
Yeah.
It's somewhere buried in their system. But I mean, thankfully, we've passed the 100 listener limit live, so we had to beef it up. But yeah.
Cool. That's a good little tip. That's, I mean, I remember back, what, who was it? 37 Signals, I think, used to do that with Basecamp, where they'd have like down in the fine print. You can also get this one plan with one project and kind of an
easy. Yeah, that's exactly how it was. It was like, view our plans, and you click there, and it's really confusing. And then it's like, and here's the secret one you never heard about.
It's like the guy around the corner whispering to you.
Yeah, yeah, he's got like a trench coat. He's just like, hey, man, you have less than 100 listeners? Check this out.
And where I was going to go. Oh, mics. So what are you, again, keeping with the lo-fi stuff? I think that's, maybe it's, I think it's really good, actually, that you're episode one. Because I think if, I don't know, not that I'm going to be talking with Leo Laporte anytime soon, I don't think, but, you know, someone like on that level, it's just kind of like barrier to entry is so high and like, how do I, it's not even worth starting. Whereas I think you're at that great point of, you've put a bit of money into this, but it's not like so insane that you had to mortgage your house or something to get started. So, which I think is really what podcasting is born in. But anyway, so microphones.
Yeah. So, can I give you a brief history
of microphones?
So I started out with a Yeti microphone, the blue Yeti, and I loved it. You know, it's really regal. It looks like a podcast, right? But I was getting like terrible ground interference and stuff like that from it. And I don't think I realized it for a while, but it was just kind of like had this constantly had this low, like, you know, which can be from my surroundings. Like I live kind of near a highway, so I maybe have a little bit of highway rumble in, behind me. So right. I've tried to buy the biggest, I literally bought the biggest windows you could buy, like the thickest windows you could buy for my house, selfishly just for this. But it
that
doesn't.
That came with the Microsoft money, did it?
No, yeah, I was like,
I need money? The rim shot for shot.
Yeah, but I can cue that up, but. So I had the Yeti microphone and that was going well. but I decided to upgrade to a Rode Podcaster because I figured that's got podcaster in the name. Everyone recommends it, and yeah. I do too. I loved it. But then, so one of the key parts of the Shop Talk show is what you just mentioned, the soundboard. Here, I can boot it up for us. I have it right here. Hold on. So we have this soundboard. It's pretty hokey. It's pretty like morning show, you know, like stuff like that. You know, it's did that come through?
Yeah.
Or maybe that. Okay, good. Yeah. So yeah, like it's pretty hokey, like sound effects that happen throughout the show. We love it. We think it's really fun, and we also play audio calls through that, like recorded MP3s into the show through that. So we were using the software-based one from Ambrosia Software called Soundboard.app, and it would work on OS X, and it was just fine. And then I upgraded to Mountain Lion on my operating system, and that broke, like, because they changed all their audio APIs in Mountain Lion and like app permissions and stuff like that. So the software.
Is that you or is that me? Or maybe that's
I don't
me.
Know. If that's me.
Speaking of soundboard,
is that you?
I went to their website.
Sounds Canadian.
Yeah. That's awesome. You didn't hear the moose in the background. The no, that's I went to Ambrosia Software's webpage, and apparently they have an autoplay video. I figured you were just like queuing up some audio behind yourself to like.
I just wanted to
make it more dramatic.
Set the mood. Yeah, set the mood. So I was using that.
Yeah, there you go.
There I was.
Yes.
So I like software just totally crapped out on me, and you guys know how it goes. It's just like 1 minute you're up, the next minute you have nothing.
Yeah.
So we tried to we just kind of had to audible like really bad. So I actually made a soundboard out of HTML, and then and I like would pull the website up on an iPad, and then I went out and I bought. So at this point, like. At that point, I went out and I bought like a mixer, like so I could analog in the iPad, mm-hmm. you know,
yep.
from the headphone jack. Well, at that point, when you analog in, you can't like use two different interfaces, like a USB 1 and a USB 2 to like send to Skype or anything. So I had to then switch to an analog mic that I would plug in. And I have this old, it's a Sterling. I got to look at the back of it.
Yeah.
It's like a Sterling Audio ST51, I think, or ST51. And so it's maybe a $70 microphone. It's really not that great. but it was just something like my wife and I record some music sometimes for her dad or whatever, just to make him happy. And we figured like, let's just kind of, so we had this mic around, right? The little dynamic mic, and it's good. It's just not like professional by any means. So anyway, so I'm running that and the soundboard through an Alesis Multimix USB 4-channel mixer. So, and I'm occupying 2 channels through that. Here's where the plot thickens. Are you ready, Chris?
I think so. Just catching up here. Okay.
All right. So. sending it through the Alesis Multimix 4. And then I was running headphones back out through the Multimix 4 and I, you know, to like monitor myself. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Turns out there's a malfunction. Like they placed the headphone volume pod in the mixer too close to the power supply. So when you crank up the volume on the headphones, it causes interference to all the channels going out to the USB or whatever. So mid live show, Chris and I would be talking, and then my voice would like turn to a robot and just start cracking and like just fall apart completely for no reason. We had no idea why. And that's part of the reason we switched to like splitting up our audio, and we have a guy mixing us down now. But there's like due to faulty wiring in this thing, and you know, I could go to Radio Shack and solder on a new transformer or something like that, but I'm not going to do that. So I've just started routing all my audio, through software back to myself through like the headphone jack on the computer. So, right. And that's all it. I tried a few different, like, I tried a PreSonus audio box, I think they're called, or PreSonus, just a little two-channel, you know, kind of like guitar recorder deal, because that's basic setup I have is like a guitar and a microphone. But then you can't pipe stereo into a Skype call, and they have like, they do it left channel is channel one, right channel is channel two or whatever. So
yeah. Right.
Yeah. So I had a hard month with hardware January, but I think I've got, if I run it without the volume, the headphone volume, the Alesis Multimix 4 is working for me, but a little less than ideal. If you could imagine.
Yeah, I can imagine. I think that's where, well, I know you and I chatted on Non-Breaking Space Show, another podcast, but that I'm involved with. But I think around that time, I remember either Chris Coy or maybe it was you that pinged me with a question like, Dave's having a meltdown. What's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so
absolutely. So yeah, we're just trying to figure out, like, again, back to like low budget, what can we keep simple and make use of what we have. But I say low budget, but what I really mean is lean startup, right? That's what I really so we're keeping things lean, right? But we I just want to avoid a degree of complexity. I mean, I know you have quite the setup. You have like 16 channel mixer or something with like multi mix, you know, you're doing mix minus through different calls and stuff like that. And we may get there, but we're just trying to keep things simple because it's just two guys kind of right now.
Well, yeah. And I think for anybody listening, I was kind of like, I started into this, this is about you, not about me, but I started into it coming off the tails of like, you know, the Leo Laportes and then Dan Benjamin with 5x5 and stuff he's doing there. And it was kind of like, okay, that's the mark, I guess, is what they're doing. And there's a lot of other podcast people around, but on my radar anyways, it's kind of like, that's where I want to get to. So why not jump to that? And it was a good excuse, obviously, to buy gear and have fun with. And I like to play guitar and stuff too. And so it's fun to have some of that stuff around for goofing around. But I think for anybody listening who's thinking about doing this stuff, where you're starting, and that is where I started too, using Audio Hijack and Skype and I forget what else. And then kind of just bumped up against limitations. Just for me personally, it wasn't like it was really that bad for anybody listening, I'm sure. But you know how it is. You just kind of like, You see or hear something and you want to try it out. And for me, I think half of the fun of podcasting is playing with all the knobs and the dials, but then getting frustrated with all the knobs and dials and wishing it was simpler too.
Well, yeah, I think that's the great podcaster's dilemma is like, if I spend another like $200-$300, I could fix this one little thing that's bothering me, you know, or even $500,000. And so you're just like, dang it.
There's always something on the horizon and
There's always, you know, CES happens every year and you know, you're always like looking around like, geez, did they release something? So, it's fun. It's just a fun topic to see what people have set up and what they're doing. So, I recently popped into the Happy Cog Austin offices and they were kind of showing me their setup, and Ryan Ireland is there and they just sunk a fair amount into like a little podcasting studio, you know? And it's just cool to see what other people are doing. It's really gratifying, I guess you might say, voyeuristic, but
yeah,
it's nice.
That's actually Ryan. I talked to him because at your suggestion too. Actually, he's going to come on a future episode of this, assuming that the show continues beyond episode one. But he's going to come on a future episode once they've sort of set up their gear and got everything sorted and sort of talk through some of their stuff. So that'll be something to look forward to, I guess, as far as like here's what you do with a bigger budget.
And what's cool is there, you know, and this is kind of the nature of the community as well. Like, they're like, hey, you should come in. I do the podcast, the ATX Web Show. It's a podcast about Austin's web design and development scene. And they've offered, hey, you should come in and do that here and broadcast from here. And I just, you know, that's really cool of them. Mm-hmm. So So we'll maybe have to, I'll maybe book some time there, but that's just, you know, it's just supportive to really, they're very open with their toys there. So
yeah,
it's pretty cool. I'll take them up on it, but then I'll no doubt get like addicted to higher quality audio. And then Chris, then I'll have to like, whatever, I'll have to, my wife will put me on a budget for,
Oh no, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
Let me just think. Anything as far as, so you're recording, everybody's recording their own thing into the various, whether it's like we listed some of the apps you're using. And so you're not necessarily using an editor per se. You have someone else who's helping you with that as far as like something like Logic or Pro Tools, yeah, or whatever, GarageBand.
Yeah, this guy Aaron reached out to us and he's doing it all in Logic. And we just do a really simple 3-2-1 hit record setup, and he's doing fine with it. So the timing seems good and in sync. And so it's cool. He's like in a band, so he does a lot of touring. So I think he just mixes episodes on the road. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, nice.
it's kind of the dream life, you know? You get a drum all night and then you like just mix a few podcasts to make up some money to go touring on. So
yeah.
Kind of cool. So,
and then going from there, I guess where, I'm not trying to rush too explicit, too fast, but I just want to make sure I cover some of this. The, hosting your files, let's go there. That's always a question people have is like, what do? Do I just upload it to my shared host, like say Dreamhost or whoever you might have for a web hosting for your site? And Libsyn is another one I've heard thrown around. What do you guys use for?
Yeah. So we do, you know, I've had a lot of people like suggest like, why don't you put it on archive.org or something like that? And for me, like our fart sound podcast isn't important enough to be up on archive.org. But so right now we put it all on an S3. And the original idea there was just to monitor input output of the show. I mean, maybe you have some tips, but like getting podcast stats is tough, like really reliable stats. I mean, you know, you can put it up on iTunes, but then there's like the question and no one seems to know the answer. Does iTunes like cache the feed? Do they, you know, hit the feed every time somebody requests the file, you know? So there's really not like a great way to gauge hits. So, so what we're doing is just kind of the lame man's, way. You just like, is that layman's?
I think it's layman, not layman.
Sorry.
No.
Layman.
Not lame man.
Lame man. I apologize. That's horrific. Okay.
If that's the worst thing you say on this podcast, then I think we're doing good.
Okay, good. All right. Layman's. Why? We just kind of get the bandwidth bill and then we kind of divide it by the amount of kilobytes we uploaded that month or have total.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Kind of abstract a number of listens. And we're using on the WordPress side of things, that's what we use for CMS. And what we're using there we're using a plugin called PodPress.
Yeah.
PodPress. And they do some stats for you. They'll like give you some charts and graphs and stuff. That works sometimes, but they give you some charts and graphs and, it's pretty cool. And I think those numbers pretty much reflect what we're getting in terms of download. Like we are able to kind of, you know, look at those numbers and times them out and kind of get we just sort of said, hey, that's a fair price. So, just kind of checking your stats. So we're kind of going off of the PodPress stats right now. So I think we feel pretty comfortable with that. Although, you know, it is sort of a shot in the dark, you know. Are you under? Are you over? You know, is it counting robots? I don't know, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, I know I heard, I'm trying to remember, I was trying to find it here, but I'm sure somebody out there could find it. But there's a episode of 5x5 or one of the shows on 5x5 that Dan had done. Dan Benjamin, 5x5, if anybody's listening, I'll put a link in the show notes here, but, that, where he's talking about stats, and he took their stats stuff in house and, you know, did some sort of custom thing and was saying how in his, he's done more research than I have, and I would trust what he's found, but that stats across the board are fairly unreliable, and you just, everybody, it's kind of like one of those known things in the industry, and you kind of just have to deal with it and assume everybody else's is off by a similar percentage. And so
yeah,
I've been using like for my stuff, and then for non-breaking space, we use accounts with Libsyn.com, which is just a CDN basically, but all they do is podcasts. And so to be honest, I haven't actually looked back and tried to do any sort of real comparison of numbers to see how accurate they are. And so someone with maybe a bit more time or knowledge with that kind of stuff might be able to tell me, but that's sort of what I've been using. Because I think back in the day, anyways, Leo Laporte, I'm sure he's built his own thing, but that's sort of what he used. And I figured, if that's good enough for him, good enough for me. And it's your typical, you know, pay $20 a month. And what's nice about them is you upload you're paying per month for, not for download bandwidth or anything like that, but just for storage, and everything after 30 days, everything drops off. So you upload a 100 meg file, if it's a really long podcast or whatever. And then after 30 days, that doesn't count against your storage quota anymore, but you can still keep downloading it and get stats on it and all that kind of stuff. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So then, you're free to, depending on your plan, obviously, free to upload as much as you want, and you don't pay per download or per megabyte
per gigabyte or whatever.
Yeah. So,
yeah, you know, we on Shop Talk, we got spammed, like somebody hotlinked the file, to one of our episodes and caused it to get downloaded over like 40,000 times.
Which, if you're, that's where S3 is.
That's, backfire, we right? got hit with the $200 bill.
Yeah.
I mean, which, you know, we were able to recover, but it, you know, that was something to consider when you're going into the S3 route, you know?
Yeah.
I've kind of thought about like Cloudflare. They do CDN stuff, you know? And maybe that's what I want, you know, maybe it's like I pay $20 and I just send it outwards, horizontally, not like one static thing in the cloud. I'm just trying to evaluate what I need, you know. Mm-hmm. People tend to download podcasts, right? So like they typically go on a device, although, you know, user feedback might suggest that people listen quite often in the browser, but I want to maybe think about using a different service. Maybe I'm overpaying for S3, but it just seems like the right thing in terms of, like, I don't know. It seems like the professional route, but it's probably the expensive route, if that makes sense.
Well, I think it's one of those things where I ran into this with my own stuff at sskTN.com, where this is hosted through, and there's so much, like the website, the recording, the scheduling, the, you know, all the stuff that goes into producing a podcast. And at the end of the day, I just did a sort of a hack redesign of sskTN.com, and I was spending so much time on the redesign, I didn't have time to do any podcasting. And it's kind of like, screw it. I just need to get this site up because I'm not doing the thing here that I wanted to do. And same thing, like with what you're saying, like you can, there's infinite amount of research you could do on the different services. And at the end of the day, you got to just do something, try it. And until something better comes along or you hear a recommendation, you try it out. And
that's my advice to anyone who like comes to me and says like, hey, I want to do a podcast. What do I need and stuff? And I'm like, what you need to do is record 4 episodes like in a row, or 5 would be better, and like record 5 episodes, let them be terrible, and then start like making optimizations. Cause you know, too many people in this world are going out and buying fancy microphones and only recording 2 shows. Let's be honest, you know? It's a tragedy.
We should be a podcaster support group.
We should
post podcaster,
like a Susan Sarandon or something.
Yeah,
film a commercial or
yeah,
I don't know, with some sad music in the background. Bunch of Ken Burnsy pans. Of podcasters crying behind a microphone,
dusty mics and mixers and
This is good. This is good.
Okay. I'm going to do 10 more minutes here and just trying to figure out where we might go with. Well, something that I guess the whole scheduling angle of stuff where you've got, and it's something when somebody's thinking of planning a show, are you going to have guests? Are you going to have just you and a co-host, or is it just going to be you talking to yourself? And I've done every gamut of those type of shows, and I can't do the ones where I just talk to myself because I go batty and I think it sounds mm-hmm. terrible. But yeah, you guys with Shop Talk, you're scheduling a different guest, but then you also mix it up with just you call it a rapid fire where it's just Q&A. Actually, and I wanted to play a little clips for somebody in case they hadn't. So I'm just going to drop into the last episode. I don't know what we're going to hear here. But just so somebody can hear what the Shop Talk show actually sounds like.
Start like modularizing your CSS, right? So then let's say you have .module.foo and you know no modules across the site have .foo anymore, or even that module, .module, I don't know, module bananas. You have no module bananas on your whole site anymore. Why did I pick bananas? This is really weird. But you have no module bananas on your site anymore. Like, you killed that feature. Just then you can rip out the whole block of CSS, you know? So I think like that's a very good step in the right direction. You know, go ahead.
I'm just kind of like looking around at some links and stuff that talk.
Okay. I was waiting for Chris to jump in at some point. I couldn't, just so somebody yeah, could hear
me just talking,
which no, you,
that's fine. Yeah, no. So Shop Talk is me and Chris Coyer and mm-hmm. typically a guest, like you said. We find that formula really works for us. We wanted to keep it very, lighthearted and, you know, there are those one man podcasts, you know, and those are tough. Those are tough for me to get through. So I feel like, you know, having multiple voices is better. And, you know, if you play that exact clip, you hear me, and no doubt you've heard me say this, like, say, like, you know, I say that a lot and it's really bad. So if you have other people on your show who don't do that, you sound better, or you just sound infinitely worse. So,
but what I was getting at, I guess, is the, you know, breaking it up that way. I think I've, in the various shows I've done, it's you, like, if you're relying on a co-host and they're not as committed as you, then it's just tough because you, one of you wants to do it, the other one doesn't, and it just dies out because eventually one of you quits, obviously, right? And then the alternative of always having a guest is, you know, like sort of what I'm up against with this show, so to speak, is that I have to wait for somebody's schedule to line up with mine, and it's a bit harder to do that consistent thing because, I mean, Dave's a busy guy, but luckily I was able to slot him in here. And so, and that tension, I guess, of those two things. And I know with Non-Breaking Space Show, where we do, like Christopher Schmidt has been awesome as far as doing scheduling and arranging folks and slotting them in and stuff like that. But it is a lot of work. And that's something I don't think people recognize maybe when they're listening to it, like, say, Shop Talk Show or shows like that, where just like, oh, a couple buddies, they work in the web design industry. They're always sitting at their computer anyways. Might as well, they can just turn on Skype and chat. It's not, no big deal. So,
yeah, I mean, credit to Chris. Chris does all the booking for the show. So he's on top of it. I think one thing that helped us, and maybe I don't know if this will help you or somebody else, but setting a time for the show, mm-hmm. like, this is our time. We're flexible, but really we try to do it here. And we may have to switch to a Wednesday because Chris and I both fly out on a Thursday for some reason or something like that, but for a conference or whatever. But we try to just nail it down. This is when we record. This is when the show is. So everyone can kind of protect that time. We feel that that works, you know, and most people, you know, getting guests and stuff like that, you know, somebody who works for a company is not going to like say, no, you can't be on a podcast employee and say our name on this podcast that goes out to people, you know, like, it's free marketing for companies and you know, kinda, but, that's, so I feel like it's very much like we need to, I feel like everyone's amicable. Everyone would love to come on. I don't think we've had a single guest who's refused. So that's kind of cool.
I don't want to talk to Dave.
Not this guy.
Yeah. And then as far as the sponsor question, that's, I know it's always like a, or often seems like the money and the that whole thing. And it's the same in the web design industry, I know, too. Like, trying to nail down how much somebody charges for a website is this mythical unicorn. And justifiably so. I'm not knocking the knocking our industry. Yeah. Like, it is, it should be a bit complicated and not just a simple this amount per pixel. But yeah, from where you started, obviously, and like I was alluding to earlier, you've brought from your web design industry careers, brought an audience with you, so to speak, from, you know, Twitter followers, people who read your blog, Chris, obviously, you know, CSS tricks and stuff. But still approaching a sponsor for a new show and then as it grows, how have you guys sort of navigated those waters?
Yeah, you know, it's been interesting. I mean, really it's mostly through Chris, like CSS tricks and, you know, we even people email and say, I want to be on the CSS tricks podcast, you know, and it's like, oh, well, okay. That's fine.
Wait, are you just telling me there's going to be a John Lennon, Paul McCartney, you know, split here? No, CSS tricks is the Yoko Ono.
We're just fine. We're just fine. Chris has spent years doing great work at CSS tricks. So we initially just reached out to some friends who have companies, and then you know, your cohort partner in crime, Christopher Schmidt, he's come on board to sponsor because he runs a bunch of conferences throughout the year. I mean, he's got a conference every other month, it seems like, whether they're online summits or in-person conferences. And those are, he's got, you know, half a dozen or more conferences that run throughout the year. And he's come on for, he's by far our most consistent long-term sponsor. And we've loved having him and his company, Environments for Humans, come on the show and sponsor.
I'm actually, I'll bleep that because he hasn't agreed to sponsor this show yet. So.
Okay. No, yeah. I understand. Get money, get paid. Yes. Yeah. so we've had a lot of, just long-term kind of sponsors throughout just kind of what we've been doing. And so, and there's people we've come across from the show. Gene Crawford, he's going to be sponsoring because he runs Converge, SE Converge conferences all over the country now. So it's just kind of, you need to find that where the audience, you know, meets your interest. And for us, it's usually like web tools for freelancers or conferences and stuff like that. So that's sort of where it's been. There is a bit of an onus, you know, for listenership, you know, to put the proof of burden on the podcaster for how many listeners and stuff you have. And back to the stats thing, you just try to get whatever you can just so you can throw out a number to people. But it's tough. The ATX web show has been around for 5 years. We've been unable to land a consistent sponsor yet. We're talking to some people now, but it's been, we've made maybe $150 total in 55 episodes over five years now. So
at an hour an episode times
150.
I don't know. I don't know how to do math.
But. Minus what I'm paying to get it mixed down now. So, you know, it's I'm like negative $100 already. So
we won't talk about that.
it's fine. I'll write it off. No. So I'm the ATX web show is really labor of love, and that's what it is probably for most independent podcasters and even professional podcasters. But it does take, you know, you got to have that salesman, and thankfully Chris handles booking and all that for us. So takes somebody who can really just say, like, I think it's worth this, you know, without undervaluing or overvaluing. So
yeah, and it goes back to, I think, too, like we were discussing earlier, is just the all the different roles you really have to take part in if you want to have a, I don't know what successful means. I mean, each person has to define that. It could be just having your mom listen to your podcast, and that's maybe all you want. Or you want to have 100,000 listeners and subscribers or sponsors and stuff. But there is so many different roles to it that it's not just sitting down and chatting with your buddy on Skype. But maybe it is, and that's, you're fine there too. So
I think another important thing is to carve out a space for it. which is something I don't do on the ATX web show, but something we did for the Shop Talk show. We were very intentional. Like, we're going to have two sponsors, limited to two sponsors. And then when we, like, sometimes we don't have a sponsor, but sometimes, you know, episodes are sponsored by CodePen, Chris's project that he runs on the side, you know.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, the idea that, like, this show is brought to you by a company, you know. When Chris was working at WooFoo, we had some sponsored by WooFoo because they literally give Chris an hour off to go do this, you know? So,
yeah. And sometimes I think what you're sort of getting at too is that idea that I think you almost need to give an example of what a sponsorship looks like. Like, so even for this, I mean, not to go too meta here or whatever, but with this episode, I'm not doing that right now, but, you know, I could or should maybe have like a sponsor break in the middle brought to you by whatever. My business, Lemon Productions or something, you know, and mm-hmm. just to give the idea of how this works, it, I think it sets the tone that you are sponsored, and whether people know that it's just internally you're writing off that hour or you're giving yourself an hour, or maybe it's brought to you by your wife who allows you to spend an extra hour
yeah,
on the podcast or whatever. And like you said, carve out the time for it so people see how it would look. Because
totally,
it's hard for them to imagine, especially, I don't know what you're like. I mean, working within the web industry now, it's podcasting isn't that foreign an idea, but you step too far out of that and, you know, go and approach a local business for appearing on a podcast and they'll just stare at you blankly like they don't know what you're talking about. And why would they want to do that? And so,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think it's really just a matter, you know, carving out that space. I mean, if you think, did you ever watch Dig Nation? I mean, that was my big inspiration. But
oh, yeah, totally.
The way those guys did advertisements just, it was awesome. It made me sign up for Netflix. It made me like use a lot of the things I use today, like Media Temple and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, like I was purely influenced by them. So, you know, I feel like podcasting advertisements go a long ways, you know, no doubt. But, you know, mostly just because it's like, oh, these are people I like. And they're, anyway, I'm just saying, if you run a podcast, carve out some advertisement because you're worth it. You're worth it. You're worthwhile.
Where's that music? I need that music again. No, it's, and I think that's, and also I would say too, for some, not to turn into the theology of podcasting show here, but definitely don't get into it for the money. I think like you with
oh dear, please don't misconstrue. Yeah.
Cause you bring, like we talked to joke about, audience and bringing stuff, not joking, but we talked about bringing audience to it. And, you know, you have your Twitter followers and Chris has his Twitter followers and people who read his blog, and they bring, you guys both bring an audience to it. And that is a starting off point. I think that not everybody gets to begin with, and you guys have earned that obviously. But so to just start off with a podcast, cause you heard, you know, Dan Benjamin talking about Apple stuff and you think I can talk about Apple stuff, and it is a tough slog. And so but it's all awesome fun. And too, I think like I've met so many great, awesome people just because I've gotten into podcasting. I haven't made a whole lot of money or nearly any money off of it, but it's just a fun thing to do too.
So. Exactly. There's gotta be this hobby element, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, you talk about like Dan, I mean, Dan has been a developer like since forever, you know, like a very accomplished developer since like the early 2000s, maybe even earlier. And then he, you know, like if you wanted to learn how to install Rails on your computer, you went to Dan's blog. I mean, Dan like established himself, and then he had this like podcasting thing he liked to do, and, you know, and that was his hobby. And then he's just finally, you know, quit his job and just went full time into podcasting. So, you know, but he, you know, he had like Gruber and people lined up for this, you know. It's not like he just like bailed, you know, full time podcasting. It's tough work. I think that's what people don't understand. I mean, you're looking probably about 6 hours of production per episode, you know, like, and you, whether that's you're doing it or you're having somebody mix it down, you know, you just gotta figure out that's what it's going to take, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're faster, but that's what it takes me on average, 5 to 6 hours, just like blog posting, recording, mixing.
It's tweeting. All those things. That's And that's the part that, and especially when you think about doing it week after week after week, which, like you said, do 5 episodes or do 10 and see how, like, the whole process. Don't put it in iTunes even. Just do it yourself on your own blog and your own website. And do you like the mechanics of having to always upload this file to your FTP or S3 or wherever and pasting the URL and make sure you name it and album art and, yeah. But it's all... I worry that maybe we're painting a depressing picture of podcast.
I mean, it's the fun stuff. If you're into it, you're into it.
But. It's kind of like there's a line. I don't know. You said like your colleague had just had a kid, and we have 3 kids, and everyone, like, as parents, you kind of complain about kids. You're like, oh, they keep you up all night, and they blah blah blah, and they puke, and then they need this and they need that. But no, kids are awesome. Like, it's great. I wouldn't change it for the world.
Exactly. But, yeah. When I was having all those equipment failures, and I was stressed out, it's just because. You just want to do your hobby. You just want to have, you like doing it. So, and then you're just upset that things aren't working. That's it.
So, I was thinking of ending with, and I didn't warn you ahead of time, but tell me your life. No, I was just thinking, what are some of the podcasts you listen to that you enjoy, whether it's regularly or just listen to one occasionally or whatever?
Yeah. Here, I'll crack open my Instacast here. I've been listening to a lot, but I don't, I've been kind of tapering off because I had like an unlistened to of like over 100. So I had to unsubscribe from some stuff, but, podcasts I listen to regularly, Bizcraft with Unmatched Style, unmatchedstyle.com/Bizcraft. It's Carl Smith and Mean Gene Crawford, and they talk about business and how to run your web business and you know, contracts and stuff like that. It's really entertaining. I think it works well. It translates well to freelance podcasting and stuff like that, how to bill people, stuff like that. I also listen to The East Wing pretty religiously. The East Wing is a podcast by Tim Smith, and Tim's a young gun. He's a younger guy, but man, he nails it. He really does a good interview. He does a good podcast. It's really calm, tranquil, and he has a good conversation with a lot of industry people. Non-breaking space. That's a good one. I'm admittedly quite a bit behind. And then I have a bunch of other ones that I won't go into. They're like JavaScript show, Ruby show, stuff like that. But Peter Cooper and Jason, I forget Jason's last name. Anyway, they're good. There's this podcast called Brain Spill from the UK. I don't know if you're familiar, but Tim and Simon's Brain Spill. timandsimon.co.uk. It's non-technical, but it's just hilarious. It's two British guys just, I don't know. They're just having fun. It's pretty, I don't know. It's kind of funny, childish humor. And then I'll pitch this one because no one really knows about it. But my friend runs a podcast called F That Movie. F That Movie. And it's him and two of his friends. And they just get kind of drunk and talk about movies and mostly like sneaking into movies like Blockbusters and stuff like that. It's just, they're on like episode 70 or 80 now. And I've listened to maybe the last, like I caught in at like 50, but man, it's just entertaining. And I know one of the guys, so it's that much more entertaining because they just give each other a hard time. You love the characters, don't you? After you listen to some shows. So
yeah,
but those are my, I have a few more, but I've just kind of tapered off on a few and, that's it.
Oh, that's a good list. Good variety. And,
I like the frequency with, Ben and Patty show.
Five by five.
I like the frequency, but it's a daily show. And so it's too much like time for me, you know, I don't have the hours for a daily show. So,
yeah,
but I love it. I just love the rapport. I think they're just hilarious. So,
yeah, he just actually, I think it was yesterday or the other day, they're doing like the news, sort of sub podcast of the frequency.
Okay.
So like they record, I just listened to it's a 5-minute version of the frequency where they just kind of go over the news kind of thing. So
that might be more at my alley then.
But But you probably don't get quite as much banter, I guess. But yeah, I know it's tough. That's a whole other discussion, I guess, of how often you should record, because I find that too. And maybe we're anomalies because we're people who podcast and then also listen to podcasts. And so like you just get so behind because you're trying to consume all this great stuff or listen to all this great stuff, but then still actually recording your own stuff. And
plus
the day job.
Pacing and time limits and lengths, man. Oh man. That's interesting stuff to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, save it for another show.
Yeah. Man. I'll have to have you back. Cause we didn't even get into things like community building and all that kind of stuff that you guys do. But I think speaking of limits, an hour of podcast nerdery is probably enough for episode one.
This works.
Okay. Well, thanks, Dave. Where can folks, the usual, I should, as podcaster, we should just have a canned, like, just send me your, like the what would that be, outro?
My outro.
Yeah, where can people find you, follow you? Just send me that and I'll know.
No, you can find me on Twitter at Davatron 5000, DAVATRON 5000. And you can listen to the podcast shoptalkshow.com or atxwebshow.com. Those are my podcasts. You can read my blog, daverupert.com. And that's it.
All right.
There you go.
Well, keep watching for Microsoft. See what happens with those guys.
Yep. And, up and comer.
Yeah. Look for episode two. Actually, I think if the scheduling aligns, Mike, I was going to say Mike Rupert, not your brother, Mike Hurley, he runs a podcast network out of the UK, 70decibels.com is who I've got lined up to record next. And he'll have, I'm sure, some British podcasting advice for us. And I'm Chris. You can follow me on Twitter, iChris. And this is from sskTN.com is where you can find this show, a few others that I do mostly regularly, not listening to my own advice, but and follow Twitter or follow sskTN on Twitter at sskTN. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
Bye.